Okay, well, welcome to the session here, Assessing Newborn Screening Through Electronic Data Exchange. My name is Michael Coletta, and I'm the lead informatics analyst at NACHO, and I'll be moderating this session. The session is designed to explore three newborn hearing screening informatics projects that focus on interoperability, standardization, and harmonization. And you know, all of this stuff is in the program, so I won't say much more than that, but I just want you guys to be oriented, make sure you're in the right place. I don't know why, but just to lighten the mood a little, I was explaining to these guys that in this new job of mine at NACHO, I travel quite a bit. I've traveled three major trips, and the first time my son broke his arm. The second time the water went out in the house. And the third time today, there was a pretty big earthquake in Virginia. So anyway, my wife doesn't want me to travel so much anymore. So forgive me if I'm a little bit shaken up, even though I didn't experience the earthquake. Nevertheless, I'd like to go ahead and introduce our presenters. I'll introduce all three of them and let them kind of manage coming up and down. It'll be a little bit easier. Today, talking about exchanging newborn hearing screening data through electronic health records will be John Eichwald. He's with the Centers for Disease Control and Prevention. As well, we have a presentation on redesigning national infant hearing tracking and surveillance through standardized individual data reporting, which was a pilot study, and Marcus Gaffney and some of his colleagues will be presenting on that. And then standardization of newborn screening laboratory tests and results, successes in implementing and adopting the HRSA and NLM guidance for sending newborn screening results electronically, and Abhyankar, she even prompted me and I still messed it up, sorry about that, we'll be presenting on that. So without any further ado, please welcome John Eichwald.
Can everybody hear me? Can everybody see me?
No,
I'm sorry. It's been a long 2 days already. And I told my daughter I would do this. So this morning I tried to leave the house. And I've got a 15-year-old daughter who's now my fashion critic. And she said, "Dad, you can't go out the house wearing that shirt and that coat." And I said, "Well, I'll ask everybody. Should it be with the coat or without the coat?" All in favor of... And no more trees. So all in favor of without the jacket? Oh, she was right. Okay. All right. I was actually going to get her on the phone call so she could actually be part of our virtual conference here today. But, maybe she's listening online. So I'm John Eichwald. I'm the team lead for the Early Hearing Detection Intervention Program at CDC. And we've been very involved in the last few years in trying to exchange data electronically. As background, hearing loss is one of the three core conditions that is recommended by the Secretary's Advisory Committee on Newborn Hearing Screening. It's also recommended that all newborns be screened for hearing loss by the U.S. Preventive Services Task Force. It is the most common condition that's screened for in the newborn period, and you can see it's much more common than the others that are screened by blood spot. Including congenital hypothyroidism, sickle cell, cystic fibrosis, and the others. What is EDDIE? EDDIE basically has three goals, and that is the first goal is that all newborns be screened for hearing loss no later than 1 month of age and preferably before hospital discharge. And that our second goal is that any child that doesn't pass their newborn hearing screening should have an audiological diagnosis no later than 3 months of age. And our third goal is that any child identified with a hearing loss should be enrolled in appropriate intervention services by 6 months of age. And that's essentially called our 1-3-6 plan. A lot of people don't necessarily understand how newborn hearing screening is done. Newborn hearing screening is a point of care screening, and that is, it's done at bedside. The data is collected at bedside. There's two types of technology. They're both computer-based. One of those is otoacoustic emissions testing. That's my daughter texting me. Sorry. And that's basically a test where the ear is screened for, use a response of the ear to sound. The other is auditory brainstem response. We're looking for a response from the brain. But again, they're both computer-based, which really lends itself for data capture. We're doing quite well in newborn hearing screening. Over the last decade, A little over 10 years ago, less than half the newborns in the United States were being screened for hearing loss, and now over 97% of the newborns in the United States, we can document that their hearing has been screened. And so the last data year that we collected data, which was in 2009, over 5,000 infants were diagnosed in this country with a confirmed permanent hearing loss, and over two-thirds of those kids were identified by 3 months of age, very close to what our Healthy People 2010 target would be. But if you look at that big red chunk out of the pie, that's what we're really trying to focus on, and that's what we call our loss to follow-up or loss to documentation. And that is nearly half of the children that don't pass their hearing screening in the United States, we can't document that they've received an audiological diagnosis. And so we really are looking at electronic health records and electronic data exchange to help us make an impact on that area. There's a lot of data that we want to collect. We want to collect data on screening data. We also want to collect data on diagnostics and early intervention services. So the three areas I'm going to focus on today are, and the what we've been working on in terms of data transmission exchange is standards harmonization, electronic health record interoperability, and quality measure development. And there's lots of definitions for electronic health records. This is just mine. And that is, as far as I look at electronic health records, it does include electronic medical records. And that's for basic patient care. It's also, I believe it includes personal health records, managing personal or family health. But also public health records, I think fall within the definition of electronic health records. So that includes immunizations, birth registries, lead screening, newborn screening, hearing screening, et cetera. So one of the bases for our data transmission is national standards through interoperability. And the reason that interoperability can really function is because it's based on national standards. And so that was one of the major areas we started focusing on to begin with. So standards harmonization. We worked closely with the National Library of Medicine, and they developed a number of data standards for electronic reporting. This is for both the blood spot screening and for the newborn hearing screening. You can see, if you go out to their website, you can just click on the conditions. The very first condition that happens to come up is hearing loss, but you can also see that if you scroll down through this table, you would find all those other conditions that are recommended by the Secretary's Advisory Committee. And so we have these, the terminology, the LOINC codes, and in some cases SNOMED, and some HL7 messaging that you can actually download and see what's there. As part of this, we worked with the National Library of Medicine to develop LOINC codes. We developed LOINC codes for those screening devices, the methodology. So you can see that we have LOINC codes that were developed for auditory brainstem response, that one test, and also for otoacoustic emission testing, and also if we didn't know the methodology of the screening. We also worked with them to develop LOINC codes. So that we could actually know what was the result of the screening in terms of passing referral, or if the screening was attempted, or if it wasn't performed. All of this information is also captured in FinVADS. If you go out to the FinVADS website and just type in Eddie under search all vocabularies, you'll see all the data standards that have been captured for newborn hearing screening. This includes our LOINC codes. It also includes our SNOMED codes that we've identified. It goes far beyond just the screening codes. We've got codes in here for risk factors. We've got codes here for diagnostic codes. It's quite extensive. So we established our data standards. Then we moved towards electronic health record interoperability. How many people are familiar with the SNI framework? Okay. This was actually published just a few months ago, but if I put this into a historical perspective, and that's in Eddie, it seems like we sort of already followed this framework, which made us feel really good. In 2008, we worked with the American Health Information Community, and we developed a use case for Eddie. In 2009, we started working with the Health Information Technology Standards Panel and developed interoperability specifications. And it's specifically IS 92. Then in 2010, last year, we started working very closely with integrating the healthcare enterprise, and we started developing some implementation specifications to actually start moving this forward. In January of this year, we took our implementation specifications and had them tested in Chicago at the IHE North American Connectathon. We passed the testing there, and then we moved on to demonstrate these interoperability specifications at the HIMSS Interoperability Showcase in Orlando in February. Our next steps in the future will be continue to move forward, and we're trying to see what's the best way to proceed in terms of certification and testing. That integration profile that we developed through IHE had several use cases contained within it. We included audiological diagnosis, we included the referral to early intervention, and also some clinical surveillance for looking for children that developed late-onset hearing loss. It includes what we call our early hearing care plan, and that's essentially clinical decision support that we can provide to providers. It also identified all those LOINC codes and SNOMED codes that were developed for standards. We also included some quality measures, and I'll be talking a little bit more about those later. So this basically sort of shows how the implementation guide was designed, and that is we wanted to capture information from the hospital EHR, and we looked at labor and delivery. But then we also wanted to capture the data from the screening devices, take that information with the information that we captured from the electronic health record, and send that to public health. And we're talking state public health here. This whole implementation guide is based for state programs, not for federal. And then the state program, based upon their jurisdictional guidelines, would develop this early hearing care plan. And then they would send that on into ambulatory care or to the primary care provider, in many cases the pediatrician. And just that is based on the CDA architecture. We did talk about development of some personal health care records, but this was not tested as part of the profile. So then, as I said, we had moved on to Orlando. This is at the HIMSS Interoperability Showcase. And if you look over to the right side, you might be able to see just a little bassinet in there. And that's where the hearing screening was simulated. We obviously didn't bring in live babies to the into the showcase. But so we would capture the data that was done at the point of care. How do we take it from there, and that's how do we make it successful? It took a lot of work and a lot of people. We had representation for hospitals. Our hospital EHRs in this case were represented by Epic and GE Healthcare. Then that information was then moved on over to Oz, which was our public health information system for EDI. That information created the early hearing care plan, which was then sent on to ambulatory care. And in this case, we were sending that information to Success EHS and Greenway, both as ambulatory care. We also had clinical quality measures built into that. So the information that was captured at the state level was sent to Siemens, and they were demonstrating how we could capture individualized data, aggregate it, and use it for quality measures. I have to definitely recognize the work of the Public Health Data Standards Consortium, particularly Anna Orlova, who's cracked the whip on us quite a bit, but also Lori Forquette, who wrote much of our implementation guidelines. So we demonstrated that in Orlando. You have the opportunity to see a demonstration of our interoperability here at PHI. And what we've done for this, we actually combined the use case of vital registration or electronic birth certificates and newborn hearing screening, being able to take this information from a hospital information system, providing it to public health. Public health can then parcel it off, send some information to vital statistics so they could create electronic birth certificates, sending other information such as demographics into the state EDI program so that they could create the electronic, early hearing care plan, and then moving that on into pediatric clinical care. We've got one more demonstration of this. We've already had three or four this week, but if you want to actually see this demo in how it's done and moving it through the system, you can go tomorrow at noon in Wednesday in the exhibit hall, go over to the interoperability demonstration, and you'll see a demonstration of this in action. In this case, what we're using, Epic is our hospital-based system, hospital EHR as it was in Orlando. Oz, once again, is our state health program, Care Evolution, in this case, is our ambulatory care EHR. We're also working with the states of Indiana and Iowa, who are representing the EDI program, and two of them are here on stage with us. And then Minnesota and Utah for vital records. We're also part of the demonstration. And they're all down there. We're all having lots of fun. We're continuing to move on with IHE, and that is we're taking that early hearing care plan and really developing in more detail. We've also looked at better definitions of our quality measures, but really making sure that quality care, the early hearing care plan, really meets the needs of the state, and so it does fit within the guidelines and jurisdictional guidelines and needs of the state level. We had a public comment period that closed recently, but we continue to move this project forward. The last area I want to talk about is quality measure development that we've been involved with. I'm sure everybody's heard of meaningful use, and that's one of the reasons we're all here. But as part of the final rule, thank you. The final rule from CMS. As I said, it's late. CMS actually agreed that newborn screening, and that includes both the hearing screening and blood spot screening, both from a clinical quality measure and from a data standards, is a prime candidate for stage two. And they also wanted to continue to work with measure developments to fill the gaps that were identified at that time. As part of the HITECH Act, it does require that CMS give preference to clinical quality measures that are endorsed by the National Quality Forum. In July of last year, we submitted a number of quality measures to NQF, and those were pushed forward. Actually, last Monday, the Board of Directors officially announced that all of our measures now have national endorsement by the National Quality Forum. And so we had four quality measures that were developed by CDC that fall very much along our 136 plan, and also one measure that was submitted by the National Committee on Quality Assurance to actually do a review of screening records within medical practices. So again, our next steps, come visit us at the Interoperability Showcase. It's really worth your time to see interoperability truly in action. We're going to continue to move forward with our profiles. We want to do more testing in Chicago at the IHE North American Connectathon in January. And then February, if we pass that testing, we're hoping to move on towards the Interoperability Showcase once again in Las Vegas. The National Quality Forum has just announced a new round of submissions being accepted for quality measures. In this case, they're looking at perinatal measures. And so we're looking at also submitting a new measure to NQF based on newborn hearing screening within the hospital.